Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone is candidate to be the next City of Bemidji Mayor, Ivan Smith. How's it going today, Ivan?
Oh, it's going great, Larissa. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, can't complain too much, even though I've got how many council candidates to do? Anyway.
All right.
There's a lot of them this year. But so why don't we get started? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, some of your background, and how long you've been in Bemidji?
Oh yeah, I was born in the Mayo Clinic. I moved to Northern Minnesota with my mother at a very young age, and I spent my first few years living in actually Red Lake, and then I moved to Bemidji. I'm a white guy from a Native family, mostly Native family. And I'm really trying to express that through my candidacy, you know, and for me, it's a big deal, you know. And so I make sure I'm using my privilege correctly and trying to open up the conversation of systemic racism in our community, I guess.
All right, and is this your first campaign?
This is my first campaign, yes.
Well, what made you want to run for mayor this year, specifically?
Well, I lived in town. I wanted to run for mayor 2 years ago, but I lived out of town, so it didn't really work out that well. And now I decided that now that I live in town, you know, I'm going to hit the bandwagon again. And instead of being sad and being upset and just sitting there soaking about what's happening, I want to be a part of the change, you know, whatever that may be. And for me, that's huge, you know. And I feel like for a lot of people, that's huge. It's easy to get stuck in your own pity or your own, like, idea of what the struggle is instead of taking part of the conversation, I guess. I don't know.
All right. My next couple of questions concern specific city issues. If you feel like you don't have enough information at this time, we can certainly skip them. But my first question is, half of the city is non-taxable land and properties. So a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solution do you think would solve this problem? For example, do you support a hospitality or sales tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for the costs of the Sanford Event Center?
Oh yeah, of course. Well, it's dealing with like high valued properties in this community. It's kind of frustrating. Like,
all right. And my next question is on the Highway 197 business corridor. You know where Paul Bunyan Drive kind of jets off to the west from Bemidji Avenue. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway in 2024. And the plan for multiple roundabouts on that stretch was scrapped. What do you think should happen there to improve safety while still maintaining access for business?
Oh, geez, Louise. I'm not a business owner, so I really cannot say for that. But I think there are plenty of alternate routes and back roads, but at the same time,
you know, the more traffic on those roads can increase problems at the same time. You know,
exactly. No, that's a complicated, it is a total complicated issue. There's no black and white with that at all, but it is a necessary construction. That road is terrible, and it's not going to maintain traffic that well. But I mean, I don't work in road construction, so I don't know the full aspects of it. But I'm pretty sure probably if business is needed in those sectors, establish a not through traffic route, you know, I don't know, like have a road construction, have a little side bar for traffic to those businesses. But again, I am very ignorant on that subject, and I'm not going to pretend that I know what's going on.
Fair enough. My next question is concerning the city's drinking water. The city's water system needs an expensive fix, and without legislative bonding dollars or a sales tax, that burden will likely fall to the utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project to remove PFAS from the city's drinking water? And any possible funding solutions you may have thought of?
I mean, I think the idea of it is phenomenal. It's great that we, as citizens in this community, we need to have clean drinking water. That's bare minimum. And the fact that we live so north, it shouldn't be such an effort. But again, as just a citizen, I don't know what the funding that we're dealing with. I'm not on the board, but I think that is definitely a concern that we need to pay attention to. And that's what I have to say about that.
All right. My next couple of questions concern some current events. Recent events in the city and the state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as mayor to improve race relations and trust?
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one for me to say. You know, again, from my background, a white guy raised around Native community my entire life, raised in a Native family. I've seen the toxicity of normalized racism, or comfortable racism, and that frustrates me so much, you know. And I kept quiet in certain council just to see how bad it gets. It gets really bad, and we as a community need to take the steps. We need to be patient through this process so we really as best as we can eradicate that bug. Again, like I'm not a bootlicker, so I'm not gonna sit there and suck up to the police officers. There are some really good officers around here who are frustrated about it as well. And we need to reevaluate our policing system. And it's not just our community. It's a statewide, national, systematic thing that we need to reevaluate in the future. And I get the struggles and I get the protest. For me, I'm behind it. And it's frustrating there's so much destruction, but at the same time, imagine either being stolen from your land and being tossed into the systemic machine, or being from your land and having your entire country taken from you. You know, and you know, we as a nation have had the largest genocide the world has ever seen. And we need to recognize that. And we need to build our communities and educate that. If we don't educate that, imagine what could happen in the future. There's no going forward until we address those issues, I think.
All right. Go ahead.
That's my answer.
Okay, perfect. My final question is on COVID-19. While many businesses are beginning to reopen to closer to normal capacity, what do you think the city council's role should be in a public health emergency? God forbid this ever happen again.
Oh, that's terrifying. for me, as a person who enjoys being socially involved, it's great. You know, go out and be social. It's fun. But at the same time, I spent the last 5 years as a healthcare worker, and I'm terrified. The numbers will be staggering. It's going to be horrible. As long as we have the necessary care for the more sensitive people in our community, as in people who have respiratory issues or compromised immune systems, I think we'll be all right. But it's going to be a huge loss in our community. And if you ignore that, you're ignoring the big factor, you know. I get it. People think that the whole COVID-19 is a conspiracy theory, but I don't think that's a thing, you know. And it's another strain of the flu, and it's gonna hit hard. And it's gonna hit rough until we develop a vaccine for it.
Right, and a lot of that is, of course, out of any city council's control. A lot of the mandates, of course, are from the state and stuff like that. A follow-up question to that, the council took some actions to address some of the, peripheral issues surrounding the COVID crisis, such as economy and business and stuff like that. What did you like that the city did, and what would you have done differently?
I'm not completely educated on all things. Again, I work a full-time job, so I was my entire time dissecting notes right now.
Yeah.
But
Well, you know, Ivan, I do provide summaries of what happens at these council meetings.
You do?
Yeah.
At the same time, no matter what happens, it's super frustrating. There's not really much to stop this. There is a second wave. There's not much to stop it. In our community or our statewide community, even like cutting down the occupancy of bars to 50%, it's not going to stop it. No matter what, even if we isolate forever, how many people are going to be connected to each other? You're still shopping for groceries. They're still going to be out there. So as a global and national, statewide community, we're all doomed to get it, and it's a scary concept, but it's a real concept. You cannot avoid this. It's in the air. Not in the air, but we're interacting with people who don't even realize they have it. I could have it right now and not know it, and that's scary. And no matter like how many measures we as humans could construct, nature is much stronger than we are. I feel. I don't know. But yeah, that's my answer. We can have all the safe cases measures, but at the end of the day, unless you put everybody in their safe little boxes, It's not going to change anything.
Right. Okay. So is there anything else you wanted to be sure we mentioned about your campaign before we wrap this interview up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Again, I'm here to vocalize the Native and minority population to realize they're a huge part of our community, to realize that we as global citizens need to think about our carbon intake and our fossil fuels intake, and we need to focus on maintaining our environment and in our outreach systems. It's hard for people like millionaires who feel frustrated about living in our community. Like, oh my gosh, I have to give my money to our community. But guess what? You made money off of these communities, and it's only natural the fact that you need to pay back into it. And I'll make a lot of enemies for saying that, but guess what? We need to look forward and not look at ourselves. We cannot be selfish in these days and age. We have to be humble and realize that if we like this whole society thing, we have to work together. But that's what I have to say.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ivan Smith, candidate for mayor.